UFOs that transform energy from tornadoes.
Strange paranormal phenomena happening hours or days before natural disasters strike.
Tornadoes that may be more fact than fiction.
Man-made tornadoes and real-life weather manipulation.
Stay tuned, because we have incredible remote viewing data that will shed light on all of this and more in this episode of Metaphysical. All right, so yeah, how do tornadoes form? So I did a lot of research on this. Very interesting stuff. Like, you get this thing that's called a supercell storm. On the lower ground, you have layers of wind, and the layers of wind are actually going in different directions, and it's forming these horizontal vortexes. Now, the horizontal vortexes, they're spinning like this, and you've got all of this heat that's shooting up. And John, have you ever been like driving and you'll see a storm on the horizon, flatland storm on the horizon, and you've got one side is just, you can see it going straight down, it's rain. And then the other side is like flat. The cloud is flat across. That side that's flat, you have all of this warm air shooting up into the cloud. And this is warm air from the condensation and all of that stuff. It's shooting up. And then you've got all of this cold air coming down through that rain. And now this is actually circulating. Again, you have all of these like circulating parts, and the supercell starts to form, and you can see these clouds slowly moving in the air like this, right? Now the rotating wind that we were talking about moves up, and you can imagine it turning like this into the massive basically column of hot air that's coming in.
Right.
And they end up starting to like massively rotate until there are possible vortexes that come down. And as soon as they touch the ground, you've got a tornado. Now, you've got tornadoes that are coming down from a much more massive circulating system. And this circulating system, what's so crazy about this is we're talking about per square meter, there's more energy in a tornado than any other atmospheric event. You've got all of this rotation. You've got this electricity, these cold and warm air energies that are all in there. What I found so interesting about this is that system, that supercell system that's turning in the air, sort of resembles a turbine. And all of our energy comes from turbines. Now, of course, our mechanisms to transfer that energy are coils and magnets. So you've got a turbine moving, the magnets are moving with the turbine, the magnets are moving along these coils, about nine of them, and they're sets of three. And as the magnets are going around, it's creating voltage, and the voltage is getting shot through our power lines, and that's what's giving us, you know, power right now. Now, power gets transferred in milliseconds. It's not like, oh, the power that I'm using right now in my home to light everything is being generated right now, because that's right. How fast energy travels. Is it possible that UFOs somehow have another type of mechanism that is able to transform that energy from a massive cell, like supercell storm, into something that is some type of fuel or energy for them?
Right, right. I mean, okay, so I was living in this other house, and in this house was on the outside of the house, there was this weird alcove. And I had noticed in the alcove that wind would form a vortex in it like nearly every day. It would just, and leaves and all sorts of debris would be caught in this vortex. And sometimes the vortex would like spin for an hour or more if the wind is going, because there's a vortex in there. So I took a DC voltmeter, DC, not AC, and I stuck it in the middle of the vortex, and I waited. And what happened was that electromagnetic energy was being created. It would just go off. Once that vortex started, the meter would go off. So you can't see the vortex. You can only see the debris spinning in the vortex. It was creating an electromagnetic charge. It was. So if somebody knew how to access that, they could use it. Bottom line, but how do you access that, right? And like what you say, how do UFOs, why are UFOs seen around these things? Are they pulling energy off of it? Which I know for a fact energy does. Energy is created by these.
I mean, all this thing is a massive ball of energy, right? I mean, we're talking about all kinds of different types of energy all in the same area. Like if you have that type of technology, whatever it is, I mean, that's the place to go then if you need that energy, you know, you need that fix,
right?
Whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, look at the episode that we did. It had to do with Alaska and the Dark Pyramid. One of the stories that, you know, I discounted was about the energy. It was from another remote viewer, I think, somebody outside of the world that I know. They claim that fuels UFOs, right? It sounds absurd, right? That Dark Pyramid fuels UFOs. Absolutely absurd. And then I have other people remote view it and we get it, right? So there's something about how. Well, how does it do it? Well, it goes into the energy field of it. It just goes into the energy field of it and somehow what? I don't know. It collects it somehow.
They have some type of technology or engine within their craft that must do it. Now, that is if UFOs even exist, which, of course, you and I both know. I mean, there's too much evidence to deny at this point, right?
Well, I've seen them.
Right. Same here. You know, you go to, in your neck of the woods, right by Mount Adams. I mean, you can see those every night if you wish. It's just things in the sky that you can't explain. But if you guys think we're crazy, we found all kinds of instances of UFOs appearing before tornadoes or before storms. I'm just going to hit you guys with a little bit of this. UFO sighting May 3rd, 1999. It was in Southwest Oklahoma. A helicopter camera picked up a blazing, fast flash of light appearing to fly into the clouds. The History Channel even highlighted this in a show called Monster Quest and interviewed the local Oklahoma weatherman, Gary England, on this show. That alone, like, you could really explain this one away because it could be anything. Like, we're talking about it's helicopter footage. You see it really quick. It zooms past. Could be a fly. Could be anything. We don't know what that is. Except I found other instances of a very similar phenomena in other storms across the entire country. UFO sighting May 18th, 2013, Newcastle Moore, Oklahoma tornado. 2 days before the tornado, lights were seen in the sky that people recorded. 8 lights were recorded. A girl named Tara Kaiser uploaded the video 2 days before the tornado happened. Some people think that, hey, maybe these aren't craft. Maybe this is something like ball lightning, which honestly, guys, that is like a weather balloon explanation to seeing something in the sky. Like, how often does ball lightning even happen? All right, now, UFO sighting August 2nd, 2022, Spooner and Shell Lake, Wisconsin. Okay, now check this out. This is an article, a local news article. This is what I thought was interesting about this. And they're talking about all of the footage that this one guy found. So they're recording this through this guy that they interviewed and the sheriff. Now, I couldn't find or get access to the original video, but I also found that some of it had been tampered with as well somehow. So here's some quotes from this article. It was bright orange on the outside of the clouds. The objects actually split in half and took different shapes. One member of the sheriff's office looked at it and said it was a UFO. He said it gave him chills up the back of his neck. At the end, now again, this is kind of like at the end of the entire video, the orange object split into 4 different objects, then disappeared. Quote, I was just looking for a tornado near Schlapper's Fields. I wasn't looking for anything like that, was the basic gist of the quote. Those are all tornado related, but there was this also a YouTube short here I found of a man catching an unexplainable streak across the sky during a storm. All right, now this was a financial analyst that had been left scared after catching incredible footage of a UFO soaring through the thunderstorm at what they called 2,000 miles per hour. And now this last one is a UFO spotted after a storm before vanishing into space. This is another article here where people are talking about this. Probably some of the most clear photos I've seen of UFOs coming out of a storm. These were taken by a guy named Juan Manuel Sanchez. He claims he snapped the image of the UFO near his house. You know, he got made fun of a lot for sharing the UFOs. These photos of the UFOs. Now, this guy Juan, you know, starts getting made fun of and stuff. He denies that these are a hoax because he took these with his own phone, and then it gets reported locally. But it's like right after that storm.
Yeah, and it's also people have been trained to only love on the images that are blurry and hate on the images that are clear.
It's very strange.
Like that's a psychological thing, really. Only the blurry ones are real. Sometimes someone comes out with one really crisp and people are like, nah, it's a hoax, because everything's supposed to be blurry.
What's crazy about it is every time something is blurry, all of the haters or trollers on a post will say, oh, you couldn't get a clear picture now. And then if you post a clear picture, they're like, oh, this is obviously 3D animation manipulation.
Right.
There's nothing you can do to convince someone. You could literally catch a Bigfoot and have him in a cage and get pictures of him. And people would be like, you made this up. Who's in the suit? Remote viewing data here. What are these UFOs actually up to near the storm and what's going on?
Honestly, it's a lot like the Dark Pyramid data. It has some relationship to fuel, but it's not its fuel, okay? In general, like these things operate off of zero point energy, so you know they don't need fuel. But like the Dark Pyramid, there's something about the electromagnetic frequency that is so massive that these things create that they use to help sustain some type of balance within the system of their craft. And that's what we see with data on this, which is curious, interesting, because of the relationship that we have to the Dark Pyramid. So it must be that these things are creating the same type of frequency of energy, nearly the same as the Dark Pyramid was, which is a really, really strange thing to me. But like I say, you know, it's not fuel necessarily. It's like some type of thing that helps balance their system when they're on Earth that is integrated with their own zero point fuel system. When we remote view these things that we don't have understanding for, it becomes incredibly difficult to explain. Like I don't understand those things. All I can do is relay what the remote viewing data is trying to talk about. But it's like a person from 9 BC trying to explain an airplane, right?
Right. Yeah, they're like bird and metal bird in the sky. Right?
Yeah.
Great point. Like, if the aliens have that much technology to be able to transform this energy, well, then certainly they have zero point engines to begin with. Why do they even need this? But it's sort of like, I can imagine there must be all kinds of different systems and stuff going on. And it's like, it's energy there for the taking. Why not use it?
Look at UFOs coming out of volcanoes. I mean, this is a common occurrence, especially when you get into Mexico, El Popo, the mountain near Mexico City that's exploding on a more or less regular basis. People are always seeing UFOs and filming them come out of that, as well as ones in Chile. I've seen plenty of these videos and we've remote viewed them as well. And again, it's the same thing. Like they're interested in the energy this creates in order to use it for some kind of purpose. But there are also locations within the volcanic complex that they use for bases and whatnot, stuff like that, because of the energy source that it creates.
And also another thing too is, I imagine that there is not just one type of engine on these things that we wouldn't even understand. Like you're talking about a zero point engine, but I imagine that you may have an engine, but you may also have a completely separate thing that's just for transforming energy into other types of energy. And so now you've, like, if you think about it, that's like two separate engines that are running, and you use whatever you can from both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you come to this planet and it's got its own frequency signature that maybe you don't align with, right?
Right.
And you have to align with it somehow by getting involved in these energetic outputs that the Earth creates.
Also, what Tesla's zero point energy was attempting to do, from my understanding, is pull from this energy that was already being created by the Earth and just pull it out of the air, essentially. Yeah, this makes sense. Like, when you see a storm, start looking for strange phenomena, because what we're finding in this episode is it's not just one kind of strange phenomena you're going to find near a storm. You could have everything from strange craft in the sky to mysterious beings visiting you and possibly even saving you from doom. Well, you guys, this has been an awesome episode. We hope you guys love this. Please share this content with all your friends and family. And if you like this video, please do the channel a favor and give it a thumbs up. And if you really liked it, definitely don't forget to take a second to subscribe so that we can reach even more people with this content. And John, thanks so much for being with us today. And for those of you at home, we hope you guys thought that this episode was as out of this world as we did.